What is up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Berry, the podcasting coach here, helping people to launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. And part of our business that we don't always think about is what kind of messaging are we having with the visual styles that we are choosing. So in this episode, we're going to talk about how to create a unique visual style that strengthens a unique blue ocean type of message that also gives us clarity of purpose and energizes how we feel about our companies, how our employees feel about our companies or assistants, depending on your setup. But that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. Our guest is the founder of Neon Lizard Creative, which helps you strengthen your brands by creating a unique visual style and message so that potential clients not only notice you, but listen to what you have to say and trust you enough to buy from you. Our guest who joins us for this episode is none other than Rebecca Rausch. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Rebecca, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. And visual stuff is stuff that people don't think about too often. Like a lot of the conversation is content marketing, use a podcast to get clients and gigs, like use YouTube. There's a lot of different parts of that puzzle, but visual is usually one of the more neglected ones. So I'm wondering if you could share with us how you recommend us paying attention to our visual style and using it to create that unique effect.
Well, I do a little bit of a combination. We've kind of evolved as graphic designers over the years. I have worked with so many different kinds of companies, and in the process, I've learned that in a way, the messaging, this really pains me to say this, by the way, but the messaging is almost more important than the visual. And then once that messaging is set, then you create visuals that undergirds that message. And then everything within your brand repeats that message in some way or form so that you're always reinventing that. And you make sure that you are, speaking to the heart of your client. So we came up with a concept called HEART principle, and we use that acronym to help define and create a method and a step-by-step thing to talk to your clients.
And it's interesting you mentioned how message comes first and then you have the visual style. And how do we figure out what our message is? Because I feel like people have, you know, a vague idea of what it is, but how do we really get clear on that part?
Well, by using the HEART principle, you basically break that acronym down. So the H stands for hear, help, and honor. So you hear your own heart and you really got to make sure you know your why, just like Sinek says. And what do you do best? Why did you start this company? And what is the ultimate goal other than money, of course? And then you listen to your client and you try to figure out what keeps them up at night and what do they need from you? And what is it that your current clients actually love about you? Because all of those things together are going to create that message. Then you go to the art of it, which is the A, and or the E rather. We're going to do the E, and you talk about the core brand message is what I call it. It's different than a mission statement, and it talks about your whys, and it talks about you tell the client that you understand them and that you share the excitement and energy you have about them. Shorter is better. Mine's actually a little too long, but you want to make sure that that core brand message evokes an emotion on the other side, so that they understand that you empathize with their struggle and that they're not alone, that you're a partner with them. And my brand core brand message that you read earlier, if you follow that, it is very much a pattern in and of itself where it has, I'm looking for my little thingy here. It is, at first off, it's information, and then it is the offer, then the problem, and the goal. And you just capture that all in that emotional state. Then you go to the art. The art and design is the art and alignment, action, and authenticity. All of those things need to happen for that message and the visuals to tie together so that your art represents what you're trying to message and reflect your goals, It's not static. It appeals to the client, not you, because we can like it all day long, but if your demographic, your in-person doesn't like it, then it's useless. And it conveys excitement. And we talked about the blue water and getting away from what everybody else is doing and make everybody else obsolete, because what you're offering and the services you're bringing and the passion you're bringing, the excitement, is something that permeates your entire brand, because you have a brand reputation, whether you manage it or not, as we know. And so a lot of people forget to carry that through. They think slapping a logo on it is fine, and they don't necessarily have multiple looks for different kinds of audiences. They can stay within brand and still have a slightly different look when they're targeting certain audiences. Mm. And then art is the relationship, repurposing, response, and recognition. Meaning as in relationship equals trust, which leads to sales. And everything previously is a catalyst to building that trust that's needed to buy. Clients can sense fraud, so you have to be honest and transparent and put them first. I believe in repurposing art so that you build that consistency, and it's also much more efficient for your dollars. We had a client that he wanted a Facebook header, right? No big deal. But a Facebook header and a 4x8 banner are the same dimensions in the sense of the same proportions. So we did the 4x8 banner and then reduced it for the Facebook. And then when he needed the banner, it was already done. He didn't have to pay for it all over again. So we do a lot of that kind of thing where we repurpose the art. I think that when you do this consistently, you get a recognition of design style. People begin to know you, kind of like, you know, when you buy a new car and then you see it everywhere, but you never noticed that car before. It's kind of that thing. They get to know you and they can start recognizing your stuff immediately. That puts you top of mind, regardless of data and analytics on it. I kind of don't care anything. Well, I don't do numbers. That's a big part of it. But it just really doesn't matter anymore, because your service and your heart for your customer is so much more important. And then you have the T, which is the trust. It's the touch points. Everything you do is a touch point, from, you know, talking to them on the phone, to your presence in person, to how you handle disgruntlement, the quality of your alignment, making sure that your everything aligns and is feels real. If it feels inauthentic, it feels sketchy. You know, people don't trust it because they know that, wait a minute, this, you're saying this, but your visuals all look like crap. Mm. So it's very, very important that all this stuff aligns together so that you are authentic, because you can't swing a cat without running into a marketer and without somebody telling you another way of doing things. But it all boils down to, if you don't have that heart of service and go over the top in serving your client, then it's all kind of useless. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, Rebecca, I mean, with the heart analogy, I mean, she went into all that great stuff, but you know, you got to have heart for the client. You got to always be thinking, how can I over deliver? How can I provide the client with that great experience? Because if you don't do that, then that client's not going to want to stick around with you, and you're not going to have that energy, that passion for the stuff you're doing. When you over deliver for someone, it's not just because you want to over deliver, but you truly love your work to that level that you would want to over deliver. And there's such a great insight Rebecca mentioned, where sometimes you want to change your imaging and your messaging based on who the audience is. So for my YouTube thumbnails, like when I'm doing a self-publishing one, my picture, like the color scheme I use is yellow and orange to reflect an Amazon color. But for podcasting, I'll use purple and blue to reflect what the podcasting logo looks like on Apple. So changing your colors up slightly and what the pictures are like based on who you're messaging is such a great strategy. And if you do go on Neon Lizard Creative, which will be in the show notes, I mean, you can see there is a very unique design. It's very professional looking. And just through that, you get to see what kind of results you can get, what kind of relationship it will be like if you do work with Rebecca.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that shout out there. Yeah, I love design. I've been doing this since I was 12 years old.
Wow.
I started, do you remember Bewitched? You're probably too young. You may be too young.
No.
Well, Bewitched was a TV show back in the day. And there was a character on it named Darren Stevens, and he was a graphic designer. And so when I was 12, I went, oh my gosh, I want to do that. That looks like fun. And the next thing you know, I've graduated high school by 16, college by 20, first creative director job by 23. Not as good as you, but I did pretty well in order to get out there and just start designing because I was so passionate about it.
And I mean, to have that kind of growth trajectory is like, but to be really clear on what you want to do is something not a lot of people have. How did you get clear on that so early, but also stick with it? Because some people say, I want to do this. And then like a year later, it's, I want to do this instead.
I don't know. My parents always told me, find something you love and figure out a way to make money doing it. And so that's exactly what I did. I always was drawing and writing and doing things of that nature. And I fell in love with design. So I started doing design. And then over the years, I've just kind of read every single marketing book I can get a hold of. I need to get every one of yours next. But I've read probably hundreds of books. And a lot of times I just read them while I'm mowing. We have 5.5 acres and I mow and I listen to my Audible books. And every book has its own golden nugget, you know? Some of them are great. Some of them are, you know, you never know. But one of the things that I realized is that very few people put the marketing in a process so that you can understand it, like a recipe for a cake. You know what the end product is supposed to look like, but how do you get there? I just have all these parts. And so the HEART principle kind of puts it into a method where one can do that. I can send you a little snapshot of the concept so that you can share it with your listeners if you'd like.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put the HEART snapshot in the show notes so people can click on that link and they can see the snapshot. If you are on somewhere like marketbury.com, the snapshot will be embedded in the post, but we'll definitely have that snapshot available. And how did you, like, I love the advice your parents gave you, you know, find something you love and make money with it. How did that turn into the money part? You got to get clients or like, how did that turn into the money part? How did that work for you?
Ooh, that's getting a little tricky. Basically what it boiled down to is I worked for different agencies, a lot of really large agencies. And at one point I looked around and I realized, wait a minute, I'm making $20 an hour and I'm running the show. That guy's out drinking every afternoon. I'm going out on my own. So I did. I was a chameleon of design in the sense of I didn't have a particular style. I could do just about anything because I had worked at print shops and sign shops and art shops and everything so I could expand my skill set. And so when I decided to go out on my own, I named it Neon Lizard, you know, off the chameleon concept, because chameleon is just too big a word. But, and it just took off from there. I actually still have my very first client.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's, yeah, from 1998. I'm an old goat. But yeah, it's been a great ride. And I've always had this heart for service. And so I don't usually lose the clients very often. I mean, every time, you know, if somebody changes marketing positions and things like that, you'll lose your contact. And that makes sense. You know, that happens. But very seldom do we ever lose anybody over disgruntlement, because we're going to go over the top and we're going to do things like, you know, just to make them feel loved. It's so important, I think, that the client feels that you are a partner with them. And I think that leads to the money. All of that, you can data analytic, pay-per-click it all you want. If they don't feel valued, they're not going to stick around. So we will do things. If we find out that our client, you know, has a Down syndrome son, and so we may donate to that charity, or we'll walk in the walk on their behalf, or things of that nature, to show them that we support them even outside the business realm. And I think that's really critical. A lot of people don't do that.
Rebecca, that is something that no one really does, or not that many people, to really think beyond the client business owner relationship, to go that next level in all the relationships. And that, I mean, that is blue ocean. Like, not many people are doing that. And I'm a data guy. I like looking at the data, but even with all the data, there are some intangibles, like some of the things Rebecca has shared, like how she is there for clients, what kind of, you know, next level stuff she's doing for the interaction. So, I mean, I feel like this is just like, you know, unique visual style, like that's what we've been talking about. But think about that when it comes to getting clients, but also retaining them, because for Rebecca to keep her first client for over 20 years is quite the achievement, and it's a true testament to that type of dynamic.
He's a great guy. He's just, he's a lot of fun too. We everything we do with our team's kind of a unique because we have a different kind of model. Whereas most designers will, or most design firms, marketing firms or whatever, they say, oh, it'll cost this much. And whether they spend 15 minutes or 10 hours on it, you're going to pay that much. And we don't do that. We do it all strictly by the hour in 15 minute increments. So people buy ahead of time this big block of time, and then we just take money out of it. We take the time out of that, and it can pay for the printing, it can pay for this, and that's an interesting model. And then on top of that, our designers are, we have, you know, I think four in the U.S., and then I have five more outside the U.S., and as a result, I have people that are, I go on Behance, and I just drill people until I find great artists. I have a fantastic artist named Thomas that's been with me for 2 years. I have a project manager who keeps me grounded. And it's just, they've been incredible. We just got two new girls up in Ramsey County. And we just absolutely love our designers. And everybody has their specialty. So in a way, it's great because we can just trade jobs back and forth. We can make sure, hey, that's a logo. So-and-so is really great at logos. Let's give them that logo. Or we'll compete for it. So we'll have two or three designers competing for it. And then from there, we build the brand look. But that's only after the strategy meeting and the messaging has already been figured out. And then we build from that. We have one client that speaks to farmers, and they speak to plants that make food products. So we have the same brand style for everything, but for the farmers, everything is warmer and more relational in its speaking. Everything about that messaging is all about family and morality and those kinds of things and relationships. Whereas the plants is much more scientific. It uses more metals. It uses more blues. It doesn't use the warm stuff. It doesn't talk in relational. It talks about results. And so though they, if you saw them side by side, you wouldn't really realize there was a big difference, but there really is a very subtle, separate messaging in that visual style, which is really kind of cool.
And just remember, as you're listening to that, as you're listening to Rebecca's insights, Rebecca started as someone who $20 an hour was pretty much running a whole show. And I was like, I know I can do this. I know I can take it to the next level. And she started her own business. So definitely think about that if you're at a job right now, or if you feel like you are putting in all the work, but you're not getting the proper reward. Think about how you can change your approach. Then the results will come like Rebecca, and you may have something like Neon Lizard Creative, which will be in the show notes for everyone to go and check out Rebecca's work.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it very much. This has been a lot of fun.